If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello, welcome back. I hope you guys had a wonderful 4th of July week. I took a week off from 90 Day Fiancé, had lots of things going on with family, and of course the 4th of July holiday, but I am back this week, and boy, you're getting an amazing show. We're going to be talking Married at First Sight, Love After Lockup, 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, and 90 Day Fiancé, The Other Way. I also have quite a few items in the shallow end of the news that I want to touch on. Maybe one or two of them a little bit more serious, but let's be real, I'm going to have lots of snarky shit to say anyhow. But first, I'm going to thank our latest Patreon subscribers who are keeping this show alive here for you to listen to for free on whatever podcast app you're listening to. Christina, Victoria, Brittany, Harriet, Christine, and Kayla, love, kisses, and lots of red makeup bags for you, which is leading me to our first item in the news, and that is Anfisa and Larissa. Now, these two were all over Instagram on Sunday evening during 90 Day Fiancé. They're together. They're cracking jokes about the red makeup bags and the queen of, you know, whatever is going to die. They're hilarious together, but I want to talk about Anfisa and specifically her ass. I mean, good God, she looks fucking incredible. She's doing those bikini competition things. I want to say it's like NPR or NRP, whatever it is. She's looking amazing. The only thing I don't like about this, you've seen it on Real Housewives of New Jersey and Orange County is what I'm trying to say. When Tamra and what's her face, Teresa, they did the bikini thing. And what they have to do is the women line up, they bend over and like spread their ass cheeks like a monkey would do when they're about to mate. I don't like that part of it. I feel like there has to be some other pose that women can do to show off their ass muscles. I don't think the guys have to do that, do they? They get to come out in board shorts. Well, maybe there are some little Speedo things, but I just think it's pretty disgusting. But otherwise, what can you say? She looks incredible and good for her. I just wish she would tell us a little bit more information about what's going on between herself and Jorge/George. Now let's talk about, oh gosh, okay, I'm just going to get the serious stuff out of the way, and I want to mention this Jeffrey Epstein thing. I'm not going to get too political because, listen, I think this is going to be both sides of the aisle. Jeffrey Epstein, in case you don't know, he was arrested and he's being charged for child sex trafficking, and this thing is going to go deep. There are going to be names, I am sure, all over the board. I've heard Bill Clinton, I've heard big Hollywood names. It's going to get dirty. And I think this is going to be this millennial generation's Heidi Fleiss, of course, more evil because we're talking underage girls. But there are many, I will say just people under the age of 30, 25 that have no idea who Heidi Fleiss is. And that's just tragic to me. Heidi Fleiss was the Hollywood madam, and Jeffrey Epstein might just be that first memory that younger folks have of someone doing something really disgusting with, okay. See, now I'm really upset with myself that I'm making this comparison because it's two totally different things. Hopefully you guys know what I'm trying to say. Epstein is going to be that name that stands out as the guy who had all the big names in his black book. But again, it's more evil because underage girls were used and abused. I hope this guy goes down in flames. I don't know where Heidi Fleiss is these days, perhaps in her own form of flames, because last I heard she was in the New Mexico desert with all those birds. Someone look into that. Maybe we need to go back and watch that documentary for a Total Request podcast episode. Now, another sad bit of news, Cameron Boyce. He is the Disney star. He was also in Grown Ups 1 and 2, those blockbuster hits, Grown Ups 1 and 2. And he passed away, what was it, on Saturday? Apparently, he had a seizure in his sleep from an ongoing medical condition. Now, I'm not going to speculate at all. I will just say I actually think this kid was really talented. He was 20 years old. That's way too young to suffer from anything. But he was one of the rare young child stars that I remember seeing on, God, Hey Jesse or something, or maybe it was Descendants. But he was one of the few kids that did not bug the shit out of me. You could tell like he actually knew how to act and sing and all that. It's sad. What else? Let's go to something maybe lighter in the news, something to celebrate. And that is the women's soccer team, the U.S. soccer team, won their fourth World Cup. Yes, way to go, ladies. Let's get to some equal pay. Okay, now let's move on to the royal baptism. Wow. I definitely know I'm going to be talking about this with Carrie on Moms on the Rocks this week, because how could we not? Now, I am more of a Kate fan than a Meghan. Meghan is driving a lot of people nuts, and it's not because of her race or her being an American or stepping into whatever shoes that she is stepping into. The thing is, they just renovated their, they call it a cottage, but let's face it, it's a mansion. They renovated it using taxpayer dollars. I think it was like $3 or $4 million. But they also are demanding privacy of everything. So there's this conflict that a lot of people in the UK are having where, okay, we're paying you to fulfill this role, to have this responsibility and duty as a royal, and you're using our money, but yet you want to say you are a private citizen. Like, you can't have it both ways. And I absolutely see that. Like I said, I'm more of a Kate fan. That doesn't mean I hate Meghan. I think she is stunning. She's gorgeous. I don't think she should have to do anything with her body that she doesn't want to do. If she doesn't want to step out in front of the cameras 10 minutes after birth, I hear ya. But I just think there are some hypocritical or maybe contradictory things going on. That's all I'm going to say. And with that, let's talk about some lighthearted stuff. And I want to talk about this prank that's been going on, this ice cream thing. If you haven't seen this, people are going in the ice cream aisles at grocery stores. They open up the cooler door. They pick up a pint or a gallon of ice cream, take off the lid, lick it, put the cover back on, and then put it back in the freezer. I think we all need to band together. And if we see anyone doing this, or if you can identify your local grocery store in one of those videos, we need to find these people, do a little recon, hide behind a shelf. And if we see that happen, run up to the person, kick them behind the knee, clothesline them if you must. It's got to stop. It is disgusting. Spreading, yes, nasty, disgusting germs. But who the fuck does that? What generation is being raised to think this stuff is funny? To put your saliva in someone else's food that they are going to purchase unknowingly, it's just beyond. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm realizing I probably eat someone else's saliva and sneeze juice and whatever the hell, because Lord only knows what happens in the kitchen of a restaurant or a fast food place. Or even factories. I don't know. I don't want to know. But hey, at least if people are doing that, they're not taping themselves, recording themselves on their smartphones and showing it to the world. They are rubbing their dicks on the food behind closed doors. And I guess we have to give them credit for that. What am I saying? All right. Ashley Darby had a baby. How's that for a transition? Oh, her husband likes other people's dicks. So there we go. Allegedly. Ashley Darby is from Real Housewives of Potomac, and she just had a baby boy. Really interesting photo she posted to announce the birth. She's laying in her hospital bed with like two items of clothing laid on top of her. And then we see Michael, who she is calling Mickey, sitting on a couch, bare-chested. Oh, here we go with more germs. Bare-chested, laying on the little hospital couch thing. And I know he's doing skin-to-skin. I get it. That's why he has his shirt off. But maybe lay, like, your shirt on the couch and then lean back. I don't think labor and delivery rooms really want men's back hair shedding on the furniture, right? Okay, if I didn't tune you off with my somewhat political rants, unintentional political rants, I'm definitely turning you off because of the germs. What else do I have? Okay, this one truly is lighthearted, and I think we want to high-five these people in the head. There is something in Bali called the Gates of Heaven. Picture two concrete structures kind of forming an arch, like one structure on either side. They don't quite meet up in the middle. So they're almost looking like, I don't know, wings that kind of want to touch, something like that. Now, all over Instagram, you will see influencers. I know, gag. They are taking photos of themselves standing in between these two structures. And then behind them, it looks like a reflecting pool. So it's very picturesque, clouds in the sky and all this stuff. Well, apparently, all these other wannabe influencers are flocking to Bali in droves looking for the Gates of Heaven. However, when they get there, oh God, I mean, this is karma. This is so great. When they get there, they realize there is no reflecting pool. It's just two big concrete things jutting out of rusty dirt. They are livid because they have gone to Bali to see these Gates of Heaven so they can get the perfect Instagram picture, but it's not there. So they're all angry. They're pissed off. But if you are going to travel to a place like Bali and you're not going to at least Google it, you deserve everything and anything that is going to disappoint you. If you ask me a simple question or you're just wondering about something, you can ask my girl, Carrie, my co-host from Moms on the Rocks. God, I love her. Sip and Shine podcast. Check it out. She asked me something the other day. She had a little question, and I shit you not, within 90 seconds, I had like real estate records. I had phone numbers, addresses, you name it. And all I had to do was just Google it. So if you are going to travel halfway around the world, hell, even if you live 15 miles from the Gates of Heaven and you are not going to Google it, Yelp it, what else do you have these days? Tinder it? You deserve it. And I just wish that maybe there was a very steep cliff on the other side of the Gates of Heaven that you would fall off into. Namaste. All right. Shall we jump into Married at First Sight? The Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. I really feel badly for them. I don't think this is the greatest promotion for their beach club, for their resort. Doesn't look that nice to me, guys. I think it's decent enough, but would I want to book my paid for by someone else honeymoon there? I don't know. Now, in saying that, if anyone has any connections to the Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua, hook me up. Now, this is day three of marriage, and I'm going to start out with Iris and Keith because I just need to throw this out there that I am completely jealous of Iris's physique. She's slim, okay, but she also has these curves. I just think physically she is gorgeous, which is why I have a total lack of detail in this conversation that she and Keith were having on the beach. Something about longevity and Iris wondering if Keith is in this for the long run. All right, now Elizabeth and Jamie, again, Mr. and Mrs. Seinfeld. Well, Mrs. Seinfeld got her period and she wants the entire world, the entire Pineapple Beach Club to know it. Not only have I seen Elizabeth's nipples, now I know about the habits of her follicles. I mean, you think that might gross me out and it does slightly, but what I was really grossed out by was how she was eating her pineapple, again, at the Pineapple Beach Club. She's eating this pineapple like she is alone on the Lord of the Flies Island, okay? Speared on her fork. You can use your knife on a piece of fruit. Like you just, especially pineapple, it's so easy. Just chop, 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 three or four pieces. You don't have to spear it and hold it like a weapon while you're eating. I feel like Elizabeth is getting too comfortable too soon with Jamie. I don't think he realizes that it bugs him yet, but I would not doubt it at all if Elizabeth is the type of gal who is already wanting to poop in front of Jerry already. You see what I'm saying? All right, now Amber and Matt, we learned they had sex. We fast forward past them. and we get to Deanna and Greg. Now, Deanna says that she feels oddly comfortable. Interesting. I think she's putting those two words together, but that first word, oddly, is striking me stronger. She doesn't seem comfortable at all. I think she feels odd, minus the comfortable part. Now, what about Greg? How is Greg feeling? Well, he thinks Deanna is direct, and right now he says he appreciates that. I wonder how he's going to feel about that later. Now, we get this full scene of the preview that they gave us where Deanna sits down and she says something like, well, you didn't give me a lot of compliments today. It was strange because she says she doesn't know what to do with all the compliments, but the way she said it sounded like she wanted more. Was I the only one saying that? In any event, even though I think Deanna is kind of cold or she's not warming up to him yet, I do admire that she was able to be direct with him. If it were me and I was around someone who I felt oddly comfortable around, I would probably just start cringing and start getting really turned off by the person and not bring up why they are bugging me, why the constant compliments would bug me, which they would because I'm not used to that kind of thing. So I give her credit with giving him a heads up that, hey, it's weirding me out that you're fawning over me so early. I would bet Greg is doing all of this complimenting more out of a lack of things to talk about. You know, I mean, what do you have to talk about when you don't really know the person? Oh, you look nice. Oh, that's a great swimsuit. Oh, look, we match. I mean, maybe it's not a lot of things in common. We'll find out. But I also give him credit because he took it in stride. He didn't get offended. I like him. Now, let's talk about this moment when we get the crossover of all the couples. They're meeting up for a sand volleyball game, and it wasn't too bad. I was expecting it to be worse, but I kind of liked it. I think it was better than having all of them sit down to a lunch and they're all talking at the same time. I think having the action and the sport in it, it broke it up. It gave us little moments of levity, and they could just pepper in the voiceovers. Now, I wonder if you guys thought the same thing. I was pretty certain that Elizabeth wanted to just like bury Jamie in the sand and steal Matt for herself. I think she wanted the experts to have matched her with Matt as soon as she saw him walk up because he's a good looking guy, a little too skinny for my taste. And it looks like he ends up being a real big jerk from what we see in the previews of the rest of the season. But Elizabeth wants to jump him. I think she just wants to have sex, period. Oh, look at that. Sex, period. Get it. But yeah, I think Matt is definitely the most good looking out of any of the guys. Actually, I take that back. Keith is the hottest. Hands down, Keith is the hottest, right? You know what? I'm going to make a poll. Which of the four, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but maybe I'll make a secret poll. Okay. Which of the four husbands would you want to, we could do like a fuck, marry, kill. But then what would the fourth one be? Fuck, marry, kill, brother? Well, not that you would want to fuck your brother, but like, which one would you want to be your brother, your husband? I'm going to workshop it. We'll be back. All right. Now, the guys go off. They start talking about how Iris is a virgin. This makes me so uncomfortable. All of the guys were super relieved Keith was the one who got the virgin and not them. They are like, oh, thank God my wife's cherry were popped. Oh, God, that grosses me out. But, you know, listen, none of them want to have Iris because they don't want to have that job, that responsibility of de-virginizing her. And the relief was evident on all of her faces. Now, the women were also talking about who has and hasn't had sex. And this is where Iris started going on and on and on about her virginity. Iris is just talking way too much for me. And yeah, that's coming from me who talks nonstop, basically for a living. I just feel like we don't need to hear about special purity fruit anymore. We got it. Talk about something else. There has to be something else about your personality that you can talk about. Now let's move on after the meetup because there's a big moment of tension. After this crossover event, Jamie waited for Elizabeth to meet him for lunch, but Elizabeth went to the room to take a shower and she was waiting in the room for Jamie to come and meet her. So we first see Elizabeth's side of the story and she is pissed off because she's been up there for 2 hours. I get her point. Absolutely, I would be pissed off if I were to have been eating by myself on my honeymoon, we can talk about my honeymoon on a bonus episode because I had somewhat similar moments. However, once we hear from Jamie that Elizabeth was the one who took off, the other wives were there waiting for their husbands, and he was like, oh God, where'd she go? I could see why he was like, oh, what the fuck? I'm here. Why did she take off? I think they're both wrong for not going to look for one another. The Pineapple Beach Club, is that what's called? The Pineapple Beach Club cannot be that big. All right, walk around, try to find each other. They're both wrong for that. They're both very stubborn, or they have a stubborn streak, and neither one of them wants to be at risk for being the one who is wrong. But if I were keeping score, if I were the referee with a podcast, I would think Elizabeth was kind of more wrong than Jamie. Now let's jump to dinner where the Seinfelds are talking about, ready for this guys, they have the secret for a perfect marriage. They've got it down in 4 days, okay? This is what you need to do. You don't keep score. Yeah, just wait until they move in with one another and Elizabeth realizes that Jerry hasn't emptied the dishwasher in 6 months and Beth or Elizabeth is leaving her hashtag boss babe throw pillows and notepads all over the goddamn place. Then we'll talk. Talk to me after you have been married longer than the time since my last meal. Now then, we head to the bathtub where Jamie shares Elizabeth's cervical water. Yeah, she just told us that she has her period and now they're just soaking away in that bubbly bath water. Sexy. No. All right, Iris and Keith. Jesus fucking Christ. We're back to Iris still going 75 miles per hour talking about her virginity. I have an idea. If you just relax about it, it won't be a big deal. You just gotta lighten up and stop analyzing everything and everyone. I feel like Iris is way too anxious and hyper for Keith, especially about the whole virginity thing. My guess is that Keith would probably open up, relax more if he was just given the chance to speak. I feel like Iris, well, first of all, I think she acts younger than she is, but I also think she was probably overindulged in her life. Like one of those young women who is always told how smart they are, how bright, how lovely. And Iris has believed it to the extent even through her young adulthood. She thinks everyone immediately thinks she's just darling. You know, you think like pageant girl or like an aspiring TV host. Like I get that vibe that perhaps Iris is the one who is using the show for her springboard for some sort of TV career. Do you see it? I think I just convinced myself of it. All right, now they go and swim with the stingrays. I had a hard time even looking at it through covering my eyes, turning my head away. I just don't trust sea creatures. Sea creatures and farm animals, I can't do it. I feel like we are in their home. It belongs to the creatures. If I dive into the ocean, just the sight of my thigh someday is going to cause all of them to just snap on me. They're going to attack me. They're going to take everything that we have done to pollute the oceans and, I don't know, fish for tuna. Is that a thing? Whatever. They're all going to attack me. I don't trust them. And farm animals, too. I mean, we are in their area. I don't think they want to be pet. I don't think a cow is like dying to be pet and looked at and whatever the hell else they do at petting zoos. I don't trust them. I don't trust them. All right. Speaking of my fear of things, speaking of my thighs, all right, let's go to dinner. Dinner on the beach. And all I saw was crab cakes. They were talking about something else. I don't know. It was getting boring, but those crab cakes, I tell you, delicious. All right, Deanna and Greg, once again, bored to fucking death. Shuffleboard, that's the height of what we are seeing between these two. Shuffleboard. And there was a hammock at one point. Oh, and then a zip line. I take that back. They made zip lining boring. Horrible. Be done with it. They're not that into one another. They're just doing it for the cameras at this point. I think Deanna actually came out of that back massage that Greg was giving to her. I think she came out more tense. Like the more he was rubbing her shoulders, they just kept inching up, up, up. And I have been there. This is another problem with women. You want to be nice. So you're like, okay, sure, give me a back rub. And really every part of your body is like turning to stone. That's what's going on. There's no way these two are that into one another. I don't think Greg is into her. I think he's just being polite and saying, I like my wife. She's beautiful. I have a fun time with her. Maybe friends, but no, I don't see that one lasting. You know what else I don't see lasting? This recap of Married at First Sight. Let's jump into Love After Lockup. We're going there. We're going right in. We're not even going to take a break. I have a swimsuit that I am dreading to put on and a pool waiting for me. So here we go. We're going to save Clint and Tracy for last because we have to. It was, wow, there's a lot to talk about and break down there. First, let's talk about Sarah, Michael, and Megan, starting with Sarah. I have some very important advice. This is a PSA for new moms. If we have any gentlemen listening who have a wife who is expecting, pass this information on to her. It is very important. It is vitally important, probably for your well-being too. Sarah has new, very blonde hair. I do not think this is a good move for a new mom. You might be thinking, hey, I'm going to lighten it up before I have the baby so I feel good about myself. But listen, your roots are going to be growing in for months before you're going to be able to get back to a salon. So you've got to throw some lowlights in there. Don't go all blonde. Just you got to have some dimension, all right? Throw lowlights in there. If you don't, you're asking for disaster. It's going to look like a trashy, horribly done ombre. Lowlights are a good thing. Now let's go over to CrossFit because my focus just went all to her as soon as she walked into Sarah's apartment. And I was wondering, hey, CrossFit's here. Did she work out? What happened to the shaved portion of her head? Did they tape this out of sequence? And of course, why is CrossFit friends with Megan? Why does she continue to be friends with her? There's nothing to be gained. Did I just say Megan? I meant Sarah. Okay, you guys get whatever. I got CrossFit on the brain. How can I get names straight when I have CrossFit on the brain? Why would anyone be friends with Sarah when she consistently will just shut you out and dump you for Michael at a moment's notice? Remember last year when she was walking around the pool and she was all about CrossFit and then Michael called and Sarah is in a good mood? She's probably talking about Michael. And if she's in a bad mood, it's because of Michael and she's going to be venting about him. That's the worst. I think we've all had a friend like that. You just have to cut your losses at some point, even if you've been lifelong friends, and separate yourself. But on the other hand, let's go back to that question. What is to be gained for being a friend of Sarah's? Maybe this is CrossFit's long-term investment plan. Like she's on the show looking for an investor so she can open her own CrossFit box. It's a possibility, but I don't think she should bank on that. I think, you know, go run a Murph. Isn't that a thing? Do a Murph, do some burpees. Just say no to Sarah. Put Sarah's face on that pull-up bar. I don't know. Whatever. I just think CrossFit needs to move on, do better. Okay. Meanwhile, while Sarah is bitching and complaining, we have Megan, who is picking up chicken for Mike and singing it from the drive-thru window that she is just like this cool girl because my boyfriend needs post-jail hot sauce. Well, she brought some hot sauce of a different kind when Michael gets in the car. But now we're calling him Mike, right? It's not Michael anymore. Just as Mike is getting into this really fancy date, this is crazy. Date night idea, date night alert. Who needs a dinner reservation? Who even needs a drive-thru? All you have to do is pull out your car into the freezing cold Flint, Michigan winter. You just sit in the car and talk. Mike wants to get a little talk in the back seat, a little cuddle in his pants with his Popeye's wings. Little sister Day-Day is on the porch, just pissed off. She has the worst stink face I've ever seen on anyone in my life, even beyond mine when I hear Dave smacking and chewing. My God, you guys. I texted Amanda, my co-host from Total Request Podcast, Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom. Dave was sitting on the couch with a bowl of macaroni salad. I'm talking like the mayonnaise-based kind. And the sound, I could not, like I was about to murder him. And I was sending her my reasons so she could testify in court that it was that annoying that he almost deserved murder. I have no idea what I was talking about. Sorry, I get off track when I start talking about my planned homicides. All right, back to Mike and Megan. All right, we talked about them cuddling a little, I can't even say it, a little something, something in the backseat. Gross. Again, your sister's watching. Oh, that's right. That's where we were. She had the stink face, worse than mine. All right, now Megan drops this bombshell, air quotes. She says that she flirted with one of his friends. They didn't sleep together. They didn't kiss. She may have sent him a suggestive photo. And this sets Mike off. He is so upset that Megan would talk to anyone else, let alone his friend. It was a shady move, but obviously she's trying to get back at him. I don't blame her. It's not something I would do, but I don't blame her. I mean, it's awfully rich for a guy who was sleeping with multiple women, cheating on his wife. I guess you would say cheating on his girlfriend. We've talked about my feelings of Megan staying with him, even though she knew he was married. She's wrong. He's wrong. But the whole thing about him feeling betrayed, he said he had a feeling of betrayal. No, Mike, that's called karma. And yeah, karma is a bitch, and so are you. That really fell flat, but I'm pretty sure it would make a great bumper sticker for someone on the show. All right, let's go to Scott and Lizzie. I never noticed how Lizzie consistently said Scott's name. She says it like this, Scott, always with that upturn at the end. I realize that I often do the same thing. Trust me, I have to edit my own episodes, and it is the worst to listen to your own voice. But I wonder if she says, Scott, because maybe she really isn't totally sure that's his name. She had been talking with tons of guys while she was in prison. So I wonder if she's just still curious, is Scott his name? Like she's waiting for someone to say like, yeah, you got it right. She's just continuing with it. Now, she definitely did not know that that was Charlene when she barged her way into Scott's house. She was thinking it was Jasmine. Thank God it wasn't, because Lizzie would have swung. Oh, we're going to get there in a second. But her balls are as big, if not bigger, than her boobs, because she barges in there. Scott comes wandering in. He's like a lost puppy, completely forgetting about Lizzie being a complete bitch and user to him very recently. No, I'm not a fan of Scott's. We've discussed this. I think he is creepy. I think he has creepy intentions. I'm not a fan of Lizzie because, honest to God, she will be on a future season of Snapped again. It'll be a new series. I mean, that slap across the face when she said, oh, I brought something from Wisconsin. The slap was incredible. I mean, the timing, the swing, the contact she got, it was a lot. It was also assault. I'm not condoning it. I just think she executed the slap brilliantly. Again, it was undeserved, but it was clever. Now let's talk about this discussion they have while they're sitting on those disgusting, filthy chairs. Lizzie is classic manipulator. I would not even want to be in the same room with her. I think she's one of those people that can get in your head. She's probably very likable. You feel like you get each other, like she's a good person, but I do not trust her. You can just read it on her aura. And Scott is a weirdo. The two of them together, God, that has got to be, any of you psychologists, psychiatrists watching this, what scientifically, psychologically, what is going on here? Because Lizzie's manipulating him, gaslighting him, and Scott is going along with it, but then he gets brainwashed in it. He tries to pretend like he's in control, but he isn't. It gets into this whole thing where Scott says that she was sleeping with other guys and she wasn't. She says Scott was cheating. He didn't. They play this cat and mouse game. But then all of a sudden, like that, they agree to seeing each other the next day. Hopefully they are doing this for the show, because these two should not be together. And I'm concerned about Jasmine, the daughter, not the ex-friend, girlfriend, stand-in, paid extra Jasmine. I'm worried about the daughter, Jasmine. That is who Lizzie needs to be concerned about. Forget Scott. Just carry on with your factory job. Do your thing. All right, Lamar and Andrea. Love is blind, and so is Andrea. That Christmas tree with the lights on it, I was twitching and my OCD was in full overdrive in the 4 seconds we got to take in that Jesus-adorned magic. We had Andrea and Tennyson, the older smart daughter, the little girl daughter, Lamar, all of them just assault this poor Christmas tree all at the same time to decorate it. Never in my life have I seen it take 5 people to put a single strand of 300 lights on a tree, and it still looked all wonky and asymmetrical. If you're going to get in there and help each other decorate, wouldn't you make sure it's all even? Like, hey, we need lights here, or I don't know, wrap the lights around in a normal, I'm doing this with my finger, like a cylindrical motion. No way in hell. Actually, you know what? I would rather be twitching about Lamar being out late with his family, wondering where he is, than having to look at a tree with black holes and bright spots all Christmas season long. There's no way. I would not live through it. Andrea is love blind and not symmetrically inclined. She needs to work on that. Maybe, I don't know, start putting a mirror down in the middle of a piece of paper and learn what symmetry is. All right, well, Lamar is just as blind because I don't think he saw that huge portion of tacos in front of him. I am still dreaming about what I saw. There were piles of fresh pico de gallo, generously just atop those little babies. Ugh. And those wings on that dinner table. All of these people sitting around the table, 3 servings of wings, I counted. Yeah, I did. And there were 2 club sandwiches. Is there anything better than a club sandwich? I'm going to need Lamar's family and friends, those 4 experts at the table, let's just call them. They need to write a book on willpower. The way they sat there talking about how Andrea is just a big old snooze and she's boring, they don't like her, blah, blah, blah. All the food just sitting there, getting cold. Not a wandering eye in the bunch. No one even picked up a fry. I don't care if the microphones picked it up. There is no way. If it was a salad, okay, I can wait to eat my salad. But if you put, especially those tacos that Lamar had, if someone knows where they went, tell me what it is. There's no way I could resist. I would be crunching and munching, and I would not give a shit. It would be ASMR heaven. Okay, Marcelino and Brittany, no good transition there, but listen, I really want to get to Clint and Tracy. Now, Brittany and Marcelino, this whole season is really just the Sasha show, and I really don't want to talk about Sasha's case because people died, all right? There's no snark there. Sorry, not sorry, or just not sorry at all. I just do not want to touch the whole Sasha stuff with a 10-foot pole. I do have a few things to say about Marcelino, though. First of all, fuck you. Brittany chooses to do the right thing by taking an Uber home because she had some drinks and he gets all pissy. She was screwed whether she was going to drive home in their car or not because you know that Marcelino had 2 scenarios already planned that he was going to attack her about. We all know someone like Marcelino. He was going to yell at her if she drove the car home because he would have said, you were drinking. You shouldn't have driven home. What if you drive with our baby in the car or some bullshit like that? And he's going to get upset with her if she leaves the car there because exactly what we saw. She's screwed either way. This is going to be the last time Brittany is seeing Sasha. So there's really no need to go in on her about hanging out with felons because she will not be hanging out with felons. That's the whole point of her seeing her the last time. I feel like Marcelino wants Brittany to be forever grateful to him for being her rescuer angel or her hero. But that's not going to happen. He had this fantasy built up in his mind that she was just going to, you know, be kissing his feet and whatever the hell else he wants her to do for the rest of her life and be that grateful, just like she was the first day she was out. That's not reality. Brittany is a person with a brain. She doesn't need Marcelino or anyone to dictate her every move. From what we've seen, and I really don't follow any of these people too closely on social media, but from what we've seen, she's got a pretty level head. It seems like she's learned her lesson. I think it was great that she took, whether it was an Uber, whether it was a ride share production, doesn't matter. She did the right thing. And I hope to God he was actually the one to go and get the car. I don't think she should have to go back and get it. All right. Clint and Tracy. Today is the big day. Tracy's going to meet Mother Clint for brunch. And like all classy women who are about to meet their in-laws, graduate from probation, and likely relapse in Vegas, Tracy is removing her My Little Pony Equestria Girls extensions that I donated to Savers about 3 years ago. They found their way to Hobbs, New Mexico, and Tracy is the proud recipient of my daughter's very shortly lived hair extension phase. Now, this is a big, big step for Tracy. It's also a risky one, and I'm talking about her getting ready. Anything that touched that bathroom counter is likely to go up in flames or be seized by the FDA, OSHA, USDA, FBI, ATF, I don't know, some sort of hazardous, flammable, anti-biological terrorism organization. I don't even know how to categorize the filth that was in that bathroom other than, I would say, just as dirty, if not dirtier, than a fraternity house come April, May, end of the school year, except it was accessorized with scrunchies nailed to the wall. If that doesn't show a woman's touch, I don't know what does. Am I right, ladies? Now let's talk about these two getting ready. They are sipping on something in a coffee mug. I'm not convinced it's coffee. Amanda brought this to my attention and told me to really pay attention to how they are holding the mug. And I think she's absolutely right. It's probably vodka or rum or something in there that isn't coffee. Tracy chugs it, and a few minutes later, it's confirmed in my mind because when they are standing at the door and they were, I don't know, again, talking to each other like little sock puppets, they start slurring their words and they're making child actor eyes at each other, very animated. They know they're acting. They're trying to act sober. You know, maybe instead of planning how you're going to get high or drunk while cameras are around or so that cameras don't notice what you're doing, they could have used that time more wisely, used their combined 5 brain cells wisely to set their alarms earlier so they were not an hour and a half late to brunch. I think I would rather someone show up drunk than drunk and late. Well, obviously, I would rather someone show up drunk than someone show up an hour and a half late, especially when Kendall, King Kendall of the kitchen, graciously provided a plethora of cold cuts and bagels and croissants. How do you repay the man? You show up late. He had to leave because he had to go to work to go slice up some more deli meat. He can't even partake in all the stuff that he catered. Fuck Clint and Tracy. And they walk in there not even thinking, oh, we should have called or apologize straight off the bat. Like walk in and instead of saying, hi, how are you? Walk in and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry we are late. Come up with some bullshit excuse. They could not even do that. Now, Alice, man, she looks like she's mild and meek, but she will speak her mind, and I was listening. It might have been in one ear, out the other with Tracy, but I felt it. I felt every fiber of Alice's anger and resentment. This woman deserves a very sweet daughter or a sweet daughter-in-law. I want to throw her like a virtual brunch. Repay her for the brunch that Clint and Tracy fucked up. Let's make this happen. I don't know how exactly. Actually, I'm terrified of Alice because I feel like she is one of those people that's such a good person. There's no way you could, I don't know. She's just too good of a person. She does not deserve Clint and Tracy. Okay, well, that does it for Love After Lockup. You know what I deserve? A quick break and a cup of coffee, and so do you. So join me in about 5 seconds, and we'll be back with some 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Oh, the beauty of editing a podcast and time travel. What seemed like a 5-second break was actually about a 12-hour manhunt, all boots on the ground, looking for these curtain hooks in my house. Let me briefly explain because maybe one of you who has some psychic powers can help me out. When I do home renovations, home decorating, if you listen to Moms on the Rocks, you know that I have to kind of make it appear like I am baby stepping into it because Dave does not like when I come home and I have like 6 bags of home goods, pillows, and I understand it. I'm one of those people that when I get an idea, I want it done immediately and I just go full force. Well, I had an idea. We're finishing our basement in a slacker kind of way. I'll just put it that way. So I got this idea that involves some curtain hooks and I bought a bunch of them at Home Goods. They were a very good deal. They were like $2.99. So I bought a whole bunch, put them to the side the other day because Jabe didn't know we were doing it yet. And I hid them or placed them so well, I cannot find them anywhere. I have looked through my sock drawer, my underwear drawer, my kids' toy bins. I cannot find where I put these fucking hooks, and it's driving me insane. I have no idea where they could be. I'm starting to think that someone broke into my home, took the shower hooks as like a real fuck you. Anyone out there who I have offended, that would be the best revenge on me, is just to come into my home, take something very innocuous, is that the word? Just very random, and it will drive me nuts for the rest of my life. I will go to my grave wondering where the hell these curtain hooks are. It's driving me insane. I couldn't even sleep last night. I just took some CBD oil and caffeine, which I understand is going to cancel each other out. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I need my freaking curtain hooks. Okay, all that is to say, I'm going to hold off on Happily Ever After until the end of the show because my need for symmetry, I need Happily Ever After to come at the end of the show, just like Happily Ever After comes at the end of a story. This is how the brain works, you guys. So let's talk about 90 Day Fiancé the other way first. And I'm going to start with Jenny and Samit because I'm so happy they're back. We get such a small portion of the show dedicated to them, and I wish we had more. Jenny's taking these cold showers. She's got some meat washing her hair. And although I would not be able to live that way for more than like a weekend camping, it was very sweet. I mean, he's washing her hair. What bigger show of love is that? There is no way Dave would wash my hair, at least in a way that I would want him to do it. There would definitely be no head massage. He'd be like, all right, bend over, hurry up. I got to do conditioner. Married couples, you know what I'm talking about. It's not all sweet and a head massage like you have at a hair salon. And if you have that, tell me what you're doing. You're probably not buying curtain hooks and hiding them from your spouse. I can't get these fucking curtain hooks off my brain. This is OCD compulsion right here. Maybe I need a walk through a mansion garden with some meat. Maybe that's what I need to get my mind off of it, just like Jenny is walking through to get her mind off of the craziness that she just walked into. After some hemming and hawing, we find out Samit quit his job to spend more time with Jenny. I don't know if that's really why he quit his job. If you think about it logistically, he was living and working quite a distance from his parents, which is why they had to buy the apartment further out, right? Isn't that what he said, that they had to move further away so that his parents wouldn't find out about her? I'm going to keep my flame of hope alive that Samit has a hot lead, a job lined up, and maybe they just edited it in a way where they cut that off and made us wait for next week. Fingers crossed, because I like these two. They're very sweet. Now, we didn't have any Corey or Evelyn this week. We had a little bit of Hall, so let's just talk about him. I really think they need to be off the show. They're not entertaining. They're frustrating to watch. I'm tired of the drama that goes on Instagram, him claiming that they're broken up and back together. We're over it. Get someone else on the show or give us more time with Jenny and Samit. But alas, we're here, so we gotta talk about it. Please pay attention next week when they introduce the couples. You know, the first shot that they show them, two of them standing in front of their town or whatever. You've got to pay attention to Paul and Karini's photo. Paul's pants are sitting like below his thigh hip bone on one side. I don't even know how to describe it. It's not like a low-rise pants where people wear their pants low. You just have to pay attention to it, or if you're on Instagram or Twitter, go check a photo of it out on my Instagram or Twitter, at RealityTVPod. I don't know if it's that Mother Paul always dressed up Paul before this trip, and now he's got to do it on his own and figure out how big boy pants work, but it's borderline offensive. So in this episode, Paul gets this letter from the Brazilian government saying that his citizenship, his visa, is denied because of terroristic threats. That's when we saw him bound off into the wild Brazilian yonder. And he ends up at this attorney's office and wondering why he was denied citizenship. Just totally miffed why Brazil would not want him to claim their country as his own after he has committed arson. He has threatened to slash someone's tires. I mean, big deal. It's just words, you guys. Yeah, well, so is a murderer saying, I'm going to kill you. It's just words. He's fucking crazy. I don't blame Brazil. I would close American doors. Now I'm getting political again. All right, you guys get the idea. Paul is an idiot, and good for you, Brazil. Just say no, close the door, and no farewell hairballs. That's like the biggest fuck you to Paul. If you send him away without a hairball, he ain't ever coming back. So there you go. That's how you get him to go away and stay away. All right, let's talk about Tiffany and Ronald. Oh, Ronnie. He is going on his bachelor party. He's fresh out of rehab, like a day. And I'm more pissed off about Tiffany. She did not take my advice from last week to tone down the black and solid color outfits and adopt a more bohemian maxi dress look. So I'm taking away 10 points from her. But she's going to gain it right back because her son is just a doll. That little Daniel, I love him. He's an old soul. He's my kind of kid. Now, there's big fears about Ronald overdoing it on this big night out, so Tiffany has put some major restrictions on him. She's saying that she wants all transactions on credit cards, and she's got to be able to call him at all times. Sounds like the perfect recipe for disaster and a marriage built on rocky trust, if that. So while Ronald goes out and he starts humping kegs and getting lap dances and getting spanked, Tiffany is having a bachelorette party thrown by Ronald's family, which I loved. I thought it was so lovely the way the women were lined up and they were giving her roses. It was not cheesy bachelor, bachelorette style. I'm talking about the show. I just thought it was really sweet. It was such a welcoming way to do it. Such the South African way. And I'm saying that with 0% knowledge about South African bachelor, bachelorette parties. I just like the exotic cocktails. There were little shots that seemed like they had some sort of exotic fruit in it and champagne. Africa, you're speaking to me. I also really love this whole Thai massage idea. I could absolutely get down with that. Now, I don't know why massages in general creep me out. If you're a longtime listener, this is no news to you. There are issues I have when you go to a massage place, you're in a closed room by yourself. But if I was at someone's house and I had a good friend there with me in the room and there's a big old sari to cover me up, I would totally be okay with that, even if there were cameras. I'm surprising myself here too, but that deep tissue massage like they were doing on their shoulders, how do you say no to that? My body would just instantly lay down on my stomach and be like, all right, just knead in there, go elbow deep and just get into my shoulder blades because, oh my God, I get really tense there. I actually asked my son, I know it sounds really inappropriate, but listen, sometimes they watch stuff with me. I did not let them watch the bachelor party parts, but he was sitting there watching the massage. So I asked him, will you give mommy a Thai massage? And he said no. And, you know, for that, he's going to get limited iPad time. You know, I mean, listen, you reap what you sow. But back to Ronald's bachelor party. Why do men have these sorts of events, these sorts of get-togethers? I don't understand it. I remember asking, gosh, some of you in the Facebook group probably over a year ago, about men gathering together to hoot and holler over one woman who was grinding up against one of their friends. I don't get it. Here are my questions that I will forever ask for the rest of my life as I'm searching for the fucking curtain hooks. Do all the men get boners at the same time? Is that just like a normal thing? Like, hey, bro, I got a boner, you do too. Isn't it weird to look at your friend getting de-pantsed and spanked? Are you supposed to get a boner watching that? Or is it weird if you do? Is it weird if you don't? Same goes for strip clubs. Is it normal to just look over to your buddy with a big old hard on as there's a naked woman dancing in front of him and you're talking about what kind of lawnmower you have, and you're both just like having a big old Woody. It's just so bizarre to me. I don't get it. And I have asked Dave these questions over and over. I mean, hundreds of times, you can imagine the questions that I have. And he refuses to answer because he just thinks it's ridiculous questioning. But I'm dead serious. I don't think women have a comparable thing. I think when women go to a strip club or they have a stripper, whatever, it's more ha-ha funny. But I think men just have that. I don't even know how to describe it. I've never been to a strip club. So maybe if I were to go and I would see it, and this isn't anything against strippers. I mean, shit, if you can make money and you have the confidence to do it, go for it. I'm just wondering, on a primitive male mind level, is it normal to just be, okay, you heard it. I could just go on and on and on. I have a million questions. But instead of talking about hard-ons, I'm going to talk about the hard time that Devin had with Jihoon's parents. These two, okay, I'm rubbing my eyes because I don't even know where to go with these two. I don't understand how they're together. They don't seem to have that much in common. I think they have a sincere care and maybe love for each other. But seeing Jihoon's embarrassment of Devin makes me feel badly for Devin. And then Devin's cluelessness makes me wonder how she made it this far in life without accidentally setting Utah on fire. I mean, she's like a deer in the headlights 24/7. Which makes me feel bad for her. I don't dislike Devin. I just have a lot of questions. And I understand her being nervous about cooking for soon-to-be in-laws. But on the same hand, it's really not that difficult, especially if you are just twisting open a can of cinnamon rolls. I mean, all you had to do to get the in-laws out of the kitchen, it's just a little planning ahead of time. And I'm going to go there about her daughter, too, in a moment. But this is what Jody would have done if Jody were talking in the third person and planning to cook breakfast for my in-laws. I would have gotten some local newspapers. I would have gotten some photos, maybe some pamphlets of local attractions or things to do, and said, go sit in the living room. Why don't you guys look through here? We can find some things to do. What would you like to see while you're here? And then she could go in there and cook away. It's kind of surprising that Devin didn't think Mother Jihoon would want to be in the kitchen when she herself said that wives are expected to cook all the time. So, of course, she's going to be in there wanting to help out. And I think that's just part of being a good house guest, is you hop in there and you say, hey, do you want to help? I can do this. I can do that. Let's just get to the bacon. All right, let's just cut to the bacon because we're all still reeling from this. I can understand the confusion. I really can. I mean, who doesn't think bacon looks delicious in all forms? I don't know a thing about Korean cuisine or raw meat or fish, anything like that. I would just think the texture of raw bacon alone, wouldn't that make your mouth just stop? Like it would put immediate barrier, like you wouldn't even be able to do it. Just that slimy, fatty part when it's raw. But then again, if you think about the things that, okay, I'm thinking about that episode of An Idiot Abroad with Carl Pilkington. If you do not watch An Idiot Abroad, go and Google it. It used to be on Netflix. I don't think it is anymore. But there is an episode where Carl goes to China. And I understand China is different than Korea. I'm not that much of an idiot. But people in China eat raw bird embryos in eggs. So Devin might be onto something. Maybe bacon sashimi is the next big thing in South Korea, and Devin just hit the jackpot. All right, so we're forgiving Devin and Mother Jihoon for the bacon incident, but now we must talk about Drusilla and the eggs. Number one, get off the counter. No child, no human belongs on the countertop. It's dangerous. What is the point of having a kid up on the countertop? There's nothing on a counter that a kid should be handling. That's the point of putting it up higher. Number two, why is Father Jihoon now a full-time nanny to this girl? If you watch, he is always the only one watching her. And now the man is hungry because he can't eat the eggs because Drusilla's handled everything between her gross toddler hands. And I'm not saying it's gross just because it's her hands, but every toddler's hands is gross. I won't even eat something my kids have held in their hands 99% of the time. I mean, you want people to eat scrambled eggs that have been crumbled and fallen from her fingertips and probably mashed up in her nostrils and come back down. Just get her off the counter and get her, just like the in-laws in the other room reading books or maps or whatever, get Drusilla into a book, a coloring book. At this point, give her May's fucking iPad, for Christ's sake, but get her away from any food items and get her away from Jihoon's parents. It's not the responsibility to be watching her 24/7 so you can cook and have time with Jihoon. Okay, I understand I'm over-exaggerating a little bit, but I'm just saying I wouldn't put Father Jihoon as the default nanny. All right, who's up next? Oh, right, my favorite, Laura. Laura is my favorite. She is my kind of lady. I mean, a cocktail in a bucket, fried apps, a bacon burger, al fresco, mind you. You got a nice breeze, cools off your hunger sweats. She is living my fantasy life right here, minus the Aladdin part. She also has this adorable, empathetic adult son. I love him. So I'm going to put this disclaimer out there because I love him. Once again, I love Liam. He's a devoted son. He is a good-looking kid. He's got a heart of gold. He's clearly intelligent, both academically and emotionally. But if I were having to give a police sketch and the artist asked me to compare him to someone who has a popular face, I would have to say he is Danielle Mullins-Jamali with a pixie cut. Okay, there, I said it. I don't feel good about it, but I am here to report the good and the bad, the images I am presented with, and I dare you to argue with me. If you don't see a striking resemblance between the amazing, lovely, adorable, smart son Liam and Danielle, I'm just saying you are not willing to face the truth. You can't handle the truth. All right, moving quickly along before you all turn me off. Now, at the heart of all this delicious lunch and talk with Liam, later there's a walk with Liam. Liam's just heartbroken. That's what it comes down to. His mom has moved on way too quickly, and she's married now because she wanted to sleep with him while she was in Qatar, not Qatar. And because of that, Liam doesn't want to meet this guy at all. He doesn't want to go to the wedding. He doesn't even want to visit his mom there because his feelings are that hurt. I totally get it. Again, because he's a lovely young man who just happens to look like you know who. So this is where we find out that Laura has had a massive argument with Aladdin. Of course, she doesn't want to tell her son yet, but she found out that some chick was moving in on Aladdin on social media, and she asked him to block the girl, but instead, he blocks her. So 24, 48 hours before she's supposed to be in Qatar, and remember, they're already married, he's blocked her off. She's got no way to get a hold of him. So the next morning, the camera crew comes back, and we've learned that he unblocked her. Oh, what a sweetheart he is. But still, Laura is not 100% convinced of his love for her. We got to at least give her a little bit of credit that she's still skeptical. She's not 100% convinced. I mean, when in doubt, stay doubtful. Maybe we need to put that on a bumper sticker. When in doubt, stay in doubt. Now then, of course, we have the bon voyage scene at the airport. That was rough. Ugh, seeing anyone say goodbye to a loved one or a friend or a lover for a long period of time, that's hard to watch. I don't care who you are. I think everyone was at least touched. Maybe a little bubble in your throat, kind of like Tony from Sister Wives. So help me if Aladdin doesn't make Qatar a whole new world for her. I don't think my heart's going to be able to take it. Although I do kind of want Laura to come back home. Hopefully she gets there. She realizes very quickly that he's an asshole and she flies back really quickly before she loses her lease or something. Is that bad to wish that upon someone that the love of their life doesn't work out? Not in this case, right? I'm trying to fight my way back from comparing Liam to Danielle. Do you guys forgive me? Maybe I'll send you a hairball and we can all just get along. All right, after a quick break, I promise we'll be back with Happily Ever After. All right, let's start off 90 Day Fiancé with speaking very briefly about Ashley and Jay, because as always, I don't want to give either of them attention, but there is a lot of stuff going on. And probably by the time you are listening to this, there's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff that has come out. Ashley is getting Jay deported because she reported domestic violence or something on him. He's in jail. He's going to be deported. And now there's a GoFundMe for Jay. Some people are saying it's bullshit. Some are not. Then it goes into Ashley lying about her breast implants or her lupus. Then there's also some reports that maybe she lied about being previously raped. This is all allegedly. I have no idea. The new thing, the new twist, is that Ashley's mom has now gotten in on going in on Jay's sister. This is so convoluted. I highly suggest you just go onto Twitter, go look at what Talker of Shits. I think there's like Anonymous 187 or 187 Anonymous, Katie Not Holmes. Go and check them all out. Just go, you know, hashtag 90 Day Fiance Happily Ever After on Instagram. There are tons of screenshots of everyone's text messages. It's insane. But in a nutshell, everyone is saying that Ashley is a pathological liar and people are feeling badly for Jay because he's going to be deported. Everyone's pointing fingers. It's a disaster. I don't really give a shit. That's my really thorough investigative report. Now let's talk about Russ and Pow. Lighten things up. Little baby Axel, the bundle of joy. He's here, and Russ's mom is also here because she's flying out to meet him for the first time. Now, not only is she going to meet Axel for this first time, Mother Russ is going to be meeting Mother Pow. They have never, ever met, so, you know, this is as good of time as any because the cameras are here. Now, Paula has some big opinions. She is totalmente okay with her mother-in-law to clean her house and pick up after all of her shit, but get near the baby? No way, Jose. Oh, God, that was cheesy. All right, now here's the whole Jody stance on me speaking in third person, talking about how I feel about this. Paula doesn't want Mother Russ holding the baby. I understand that maybe you don't want to leave your baby with your in-laws for the afternoon or the night, especially when they're a newborn. He's only 3 weeks old. But Paula doesn't want her to even hold him. It's Russ's son, too. Like, she realizes that she would not have her son without Russ. And if it was okay for her mother to hold Axel, why is it not okay for Russ's mother to hold him? I just think that's total bullshit. Russ's mom isn't coming to be your wet nurse, Paula. She's flying out to meet her grandson and to lend a helping hand. She's not going to be filing for grandparents' rights or wanting to co-sleep with him. You gotta freaking, I don't even want to say it's relax. It's not about her relaxing. It's about her wanting to push Russ's family away and make them be the bad guys. Like, she's the victim in all this. I was disappointed that Mother Pow fell for Paula's version of the truth, too. I mean, Russ's family apologized over and over again through the roof, bent over backwards to throw Paula a baby shower, which she rudely strolled in late to. She didn't tell her mom about that part. You know, I was hoping that Paula's mom would see the light, see that Paula was bending the truth somewhat. She was on Mother Russ's side, but then Paula told her, oh, they're so mean to me and they didn't like me and all this kind of shit. Maybe we have to start thinking, why does Paula act that way? Maybe she's always done this. You know, don't say anything because Paula will just get upset. We don't want Paula to be mad. Everyone feel bad for Paula because she's a victim again. No, 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 no. Someone call her on this shit. Russ is trying, but it's going to take more than just Russ. Hand over the baby for a minute. You'll be fine. She is going back to Oklahoma. You don't have to worry about it. Elizabeth and Andre, let's move on. Oh my God. I feel like everyone watching this show wanted to shove Andre right back up Moldova's uterus. Oh my God. I don't know what that means, but it would feel really good. Can you imagine just like shoving him right back into a metaphorical Moldovan uterus? All right, well, it's Labor Day and Elizabeth is in labor. Her mom knows, but her sisters allegedly don't, which I think is very suspicious. But I get it. It's reality TV and they have to shoot some scenes. Now, here's the thing about a woman having a baby. Here we go. Jody on a soapbox. I'm just speaking from experience. I didn't have my mom in the delivery room, and it's not because we are not close. My mom and I are very close. I just wanted it to be Dave and I. It wasn't anything he insisted on. I just wanted it to be the two of us. It just felt right to me. I don't think anyone should feel or be obligated to have certain people there or not there while they are in labor. However, Elizabeth had to have led her mom to believe that she was going to be part of it for her mom to be so upset. Whether it was lying by omission or something similar, her mom had no idea, and clearly I do think she was hurt. I don't think they really put that on for the cameras. I think her sisters were acting it up a little bit, like they knew that they were not going to be there. I don't think her mom knew. Whatever happened, Elizabeth caused some shockwaves. Now then we have freaking Andre in that hospital room. He is sitting there with his Moldovan legs spread eagle with his 16 hours minimum of denim sheathed ball sweat airing out no more than 5 feet away from Elizabeth's ripening cervix. Like, could you close up shop, cross your legs, keep it sterile, Andre? Could you do that just one thing? I know you're so tired. And another thing, Andre, yeah, I'm speaking directly to him, terrified. Encouragement to your wife while she's in labor does not sound like, it has to be hard, you know, it has to be hard. Andre has no concept of what a contraction feels like. He can't even handle working for a day, let alone contractions in childbirth. And Elizabeth, yeah, I have some words for her too. If you wish your mom could be there because she had 7 kids, well then call her up maybe before 3 in the morning. You did it to yourself. Oh, poor baby. God, no, I don't feel bad for her. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to go into it here. And I am not just saying this to be snarky. This is my theory. It's 3 a.m. Elizabeth is there in labor. They've been there, maybe 24 hours. And suddenly they realize that there's no way they're leaving that hospital until they have proof of payment and or insurance. And it occurs to both of them that maybe it would soften the blow to mother and father Elizabeth's pockets if they threw Mama Libby a bone and had her there for the labor. Is it harsh? Yes. Is it also very likely to be true? Also yes. Colt and Larissa, you're up next. All right, so we have a hot and heavy car scene between Deb and Larissa this week. Wow. Larissa starts in on Debbie, basically gaslighting her because she's feeling good about herself this day, you can tell. But Debbie isn't having any of it. It is the final straw for her. She's got no more catnip and casino chips to give, so she lets Larissa have it. I think she might have called her either a selfish little bitch or an entitled little bitch. In my book, there is nothing more harsh than an older woman calling a younger generation a bitch. I love it. It's like, you know, they mean it. It packs so much power. It just does. It's a personal favorite of mine. Now, I also loved when Larissa suddenly had this strong stance on her auditory health. She's a very strong proponent of protecting her hearing, and slamming doors will simply not do. Not today, ma'am. No way. When she claimed she was almost deaf, it instantly reminded me of this line that I use whenever I can. I always like to pull out, you know, some old John Candy quotes, things like that. Name the movie when you hear it. Are you happy now, Clark? She's deaf. Yes, it's Family Vacation, Ellen Griswold, such a aspirational matriarch. Now, you know, I have to speak of the Colt family matriarch. That would be Colt's little lover, Debbie. Colt comes home from work while Debbie is upstairs, locked herself in the room. It's been a long day for him in his jeans and Alaska hoodie. And Larissa fills him in on Debbie kicking her out of the car. But there's no sympathy for Larissa at all. Colt asks why Debbie would have acted like that because it's not Debbie-ish in nature. And that causes Larissa to storm upstairs. She's pouting in her bathroom with the producer. And that's when we get, this is going to be a classic, iconic moment in 90 Day Fiancé history. Colt goes over to the cabinet above the stove, you know, where everyone keeps their good alcohol, where you can get hot and all that kind of stuff. Freaking idiot. He opens the door, relapses into his old biker days, or maybe his old cowboy days when he would belly up to the saloon bar and ask bartender Sully for a shot of Jack Daniels as he flicks a nickel at him. I don't know where I'm going, but suddenly I just saw this image of Colt and Mother Debbie dressing up in those old-timey, you know what I'm talking about, where tourist towns, you can dress up in the old-timey clothes. He's a cowboy with like some sort of leather chap thing. Debbie is in like a little saloon girl outfit, and it's the two of them together. You know they have one of those photos. I would put $1,000 on it that somewhere in that townhouse, there is a saloon photo. Someone get on that. Someone other than me who is braver than I, tweet him or Debbie, Instagram them, whatever. I know there's a photo. Anyhow, Colt is pretending like he's a big drinker. It's basically what I'm trying to say. He gets this bottle of Jack Daniels, in quotes, Jack Daniels, unscrews it, and frickin' chugs it. There is no way in hell there is even a fraction of a percent of alcohol in that bottle. He would not be able to chug that. That is some Walmart brand Arizona iced tea if I've ever seen it. Or he took, maybe apple cider with some food dye in it. No, he's not that crafty. It was not alcohol, though. No way in hell. And that's not the worst part. He takes the bottle that has nothing left in it and puts it back in the cabinet. Ooh, you really are a bad boy. Debbie's gonna get you for putting something empty back in the pantry. Ridiculous. We still have Pedro and Chantel. Totally forgot about them. I don't know why, because there was a lot to take in this episode. Now, last week, I did not recap, but basically shit hit the fan because Pedro's sister is a total bitch. This week, Chantel wants to slow talk at the beach with Pedro. I don't think her new boobs have seen the beach yet, so it's a pretty big deal for them. Now, someone could have warned her ahead of time that wearing that low cut of a swimsuit top is not a good idea when you have big boobs. I have big boobs myself. This is, hey, another PSA. This is just like basically an after school special for you guys this week. We had a PSA for new moms and now for new boobs or big boobs. Don't wear a low-cut top. If you are on the beach and you are wearing a skimpy bikini top, you are going to be finding grains of sand in your cleavage for days, if not weeks to come. Although if it was going to happen to someone, I can't think of a more deserving gal. Now, blah, blah, boobs. They frolic on the beach while making direct eye contact with the cameras because hashtag so natural. Same thing at dinner. It's lame. I'm completely bored with these two. These two, Russ and Paula, we could cut these episodes down to an hour and just stick with the main group of people. This fake mom, sister, Obed theory, it's so 3 weeks ago. And this whole we're on a fresh path because we went to the beach for a couple hours. No, you're not. You're still talking about the same shit for the rest of the day, the week, the episode. So this goes on and on and on at the dinner on the beach where Chantel wastes a lobster in a noodle dish. It looked absolutely delicious, although I've never had lobster, but it had carbs and it must be good. It also must be good if it was too precious for Chantel to throw at Sister Pedro's face because his sister is a monster. Also a monster, Pedro's mom, simply for the fact that she had her bare feet around a dinner table. I get that it's in the sand, but maybe just bury them in there so the camera doesn't have to see them. Now, what the fuck went down on that beach at that dinner was crazy to me. It seemed like it was pleasant enough to start. And I was like, okay, yes, now the plot's all coming together. They hate each other, but it was all over dramatized and they're apologizing to each other and agreeing how things go wrong and they should go right. And then Chantel turned into Mother Chantel. She gets this creepy smile and she's trying to think up her own new hashtags to go viral. Okay, now before I say anything about Chantel, I'm going to be clear again. Pedro and his mom and his sister are selfish people. But Chantel is so fucking rude to them. His sister deserves it. I saw Nicole's bullshittery in the last episode. She's evil. But again, Chantel cannot call Nicole out and then turn around and be just as nasty, especially to Pedro's mom. I cannot stand Chantel, and I hope to God that none of you guys are going to be watching her family show because it is supporting assholes. It is supporting bad people. Like, I feel like there is something rotten in their core, and they're just procreating. God help us all if Pedro and Chantel have a baby. That would be the worst thing to happen. other than Nicole and May moving to Morocco, which again, we didn't have any Nicole and May and Azin this week. What the hell's going on? It really does make me sad. But you know what makes me happy? Patreon, our Patreon subscribers. Again, thank you. Join me over on Patreon this week. It's patreon.com/realityvpod. I'm going to be talking about Teen Mom. Crazy stuff happening this week in the news with Teen Mom. And lots more on Total Request Podcast. That is at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. We are going to be breaking down a documentary that I have not watched yet, and I can't believe it. It is The Wild, Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. That is coming out this Friday, and a new episode of Moms on the Rocks is coming out this Friday. We haven't recorded yet, but I'm going to be playing some pop culture games and probably talking a little bit about the Royals this week. So check that out, Moms on the Rocks, patreon.com/realityvpod, patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. And of course, thank you for listening here. Please subscribe, review, share the episodes. If you are in Facebook groups or you're on Instagram or Twitter, please share the show. It really helps me out, and I will love you forever. And with that, have a wonderful summer week. I'll be back next week with all of our favorite shows. Stay salty.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.